Good morning. I'd like to encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. In just a moment, we're going to read verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll make some references to some other passages before that. You know, the account of the life of Abraham is one of the longer biographies featured in the Scriptures. In fact, in the book of Genesis, you'll find 13 chapters that are devoted to the life of this man. And his life story helps to shift the focus of Scripture from the general history of mankind and of creation to really a focus on a single family. And within those chapters, we find times in which Abraham acted with great faith and obedience towards God. But we also find times in which he acted in a way that, well, it's quite baffling. And this is especially true with regards to his relationship to Hagar. Now, in every way, Abraham stands out as a towering figure in Genesis. His influence extends well beyond the book of Genesis. Other inspired writers have taken up their pens to commend Abraham's life of faith and of obedience. The psalmist in Psalm 105 says twice that Abraham was God's servant. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8 calls Abraham the friend of God. And that's the title of our lesson today. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, where I've asked you to turn, we read these words penned by the Holy Spirit's prophet. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. You think about a wonderful summary, that is, of this man of faith. James, over in James chapter 2, wrote extensively about Abraham's faith. In James chapter 2, beginning in verse 21, down through verse 23, we read these words, penned by the prophet James. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. What a wonderful example this man sets for us. A man who had great faith that's coupled with his works, which James says is a living and saving faith. Let's think for a little while about three distinct times in Abraham's life that will help us better understand why his life will stand forever as a link of faith and obedience and, well, how to be a friend of God. In Genesis chapter 12, I'm going to ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 12. Much of our lesson will come from that place, or at least refer to some of those texts. The first snapshot we have of Abraham that I'd like for us to focus on is when he is 75 years old. Now, when we think about that, a man of 75, a lot of his life has been lived already. Many things have been accomplished. Much has been done. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we find a command of God and three remarkable promises that are made to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, we're going to read verse 1, 2, and 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now you notice the first statement is a command, and really an implied promise. In verse 1, Abraham was commanded to leave his home at Ur and to travel to some unseen but promised land that his descendants one day would possess. Then in verse 2, God promises that Abraham would become a great nation. And then finally in verse 3, God promises that through him all the earth would be blessed. All families of this earth would receive blessings because of Abraham and God's promise to him. And as far as we know, Abraham didn't ask any questions. He didn't ask God for time to think about what he was being asked to do. He didn't offer any excuses or give any reasons why he shouldn't obey God and leave his home, go off into a foreign land. Moses records Abraham's response in three simple words. Moses said of this great man of faith, so Abram departed. That's in verse 4. Look at that. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. This man's response was one of faith and immediate obedience. And that's what we should demonstrate in our own lives. a great showing of faith in immediate obedience. Next, I'd like for you to turn over to Genesis chapter 17. The second period of time in which I'd like to focus our attention on Abraham's life is his response to God's command to offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering. Now, Isaac was the son that God had promised to Abraham in his old age. Genesis chapter 17, verse 19, God said, "Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him." Again, in verse 21, God said, "My covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at the set time next year." God specifically identifies Isaac not only as that promised son, but also as the one through whom the promises of God would be fulfilled. Now consider that at the time God made these promises to Abraham, Abraham and his wife Sarah were old. In fact, Genesis chapter 18 and verse 11 says that they were well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. But God said, "It shall be so," and it was. Now, there is the sad fact of Abram's trying to work out God's plan in his life by having a child with Hagar, but that was not God's plan, and that's why God in Genesis chapter 17, as we just read, is very deliberate and very plain about the fact that it will be through Isaac that he will establish the covenant, that it will be through his descendants after him that these promises would take place. And so God, again, specifically identifies Isaac not only as the promised son, but also as the one through whom these promises would be fulfilled. And yet, in a surprising turn of events, God commands Abraham, many years later, to offer this very promised son as a burnt offering. Now, that just boggles the mind of man. How could that be? And what would Abram do when he is called upon to make such sacrifice? But once again, we look to the account, and we see in Genesis chapter 22 what Moses records for us of this great man of faith. In Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 1, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you.'" Notice verse 3, though. "So Abram arose early in the morning, and he saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose, and he went to the place of which God had told him." Abraham, with his eye of faith, could see that God would provide, God would make good on his promises to fulfill the covenant relationship through this promised son, Isaac. Notice verse 6 of Genesis chapter 22. "So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father, and he said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' And he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' And Abram said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together." Now, Hebrews chapter 11, let's go over there, and let's see what the prophet of God has to say about this great faith that is being demonstrated by this man of God, a friend of God, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17, down through verse 19. The Holy Spirit says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." Now, notice what the Hebrews writer says by inspiration. He said, "By faith, Abraham did what he was told." It says that he offered his only begotten son. Now, we know that the knife didn't plunge into his son. His son's life was not taken on that day, but he was as good as dead. Abraham offered him up. And it says, "In Isaac your seed shall be called." How did he do that? How did he accomplish that great demonstration of faith? Well, it says in the rest of that text, he concluded that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Now you think about that. This great man of faith knew that with God all things are possible, and even if he should cast that deadly blow with the knife, that God was capable and able to fulfill his promises by raising his son from the dead. Now let's continue in the narrative. Let's advance a little ways in the life of Abram and consider his trust in God's promises. This final picture of Abraham's faith occurred after the death of his wife Sarah. Sarah was Abraham's wife and best friend in life, and she's said to have been a beautiful woman. And there are times where we see the frailty of her faith with regards to, for example, Hagar. But then there are times in which we see her strength in being a lifelong companion to her husband and to her God. And when she died, Abraham sought out a burial place for his wife. Now, he could have gone back to Haran, where they had spent many years living. Or he could have gone back to their homeland in Ur. And you know, most people would think that's just fine. In fact, that's perhaps the most appropriate place for her to be buried. There with her family, there where there is some confidence in the burial place. But I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 23, and I want you to notice what's said there. In Genesis chapter 23 and verse 1, the Holy Spirit, by the pen of Moses, records these words, that Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. So Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, that is, Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abram came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Then Abraham stood up from before his dead, and he spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a foreigner and a visitor among you. Give me property for a burial place among you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, Hear us, my lord. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our burial places. None of us will withhold from you his burial place, and you that you may bury your dead. Now, did you notice in verse 4, Abraham said, I am a foreigner and a visitor among you? You see, this wasn't where his family was from. This wasn't the place where his and Sarah's ancestors had been buried before. The property that he stood on belonged to someone else, and yet he had faith in the promises of God that this land would one day be his descendants through his son Isaac and his descendants on. And that's why he said, Give me a property for a burial place among you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. This man cared deeply for his wife, and he was mourning for her death. But he asked for the cave of Machpelah, so that he could bury his wife Sarah there, where one day his descendants would be. Abraham believed God. In the original and the renewal of the promises, God told Abraham that his descendants would possess and would live in this land of Canaan one day. And Abraham believed him, even though he was just a stranger, just a foreigner for a time, living in tents and wandering around in this foreign land. What a wonderful example of the attitude of one of God's servants, focusing firmly on the promises of God as opposed to focusing upon the circumstances of the day. Abraham's faith and obedience are a wonderful example for us as God's people today. Abraham, he obeyed God even when he didn't know where he was going. He had faith in God during difficult circumstances with his children. And even in the passing of his best friend and his wife, Abraham never lost hope. He kept his faith firmly fixed on the promises of God, not on the immediate circumstances of this life. And it's for these reasons, among others, that Abraham's life is showcased in the biblical record. We see a man who, through each stage of life, listened and responded obediently to God. Not a perfect life by any means, but one of great faith and of immediate obedience. And as a younger man, and leaving his home and leading his family, demonstrating godliness as a parent, even as he suffered the loss of a loved one, Abraham demonstrated this faith. And God chose to preserve the account of such a man, whom we know as a servant and friend of God. What about your life? Can it be said by God that you are a servant and a friend of his? Now, if you have interest in becoming a servant and a friend of God too, then you need to be like Abraham. Have that obedient faith that responds to God immediately. You can do that by being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ today. Having heard the word preached, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing to make that good confession today? Further, are you willing to humbly submit to God by repenting of your sins and being baptized, immersed into water, into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? It's then that your sins are washed away, that you're added by the Lord to His church, and that you're able to be a new creature for new works, that is, God's works. Now, if you have need of obeying the gospel today, then please let us know so that we can help you in doing what is right before our God. Now that we've come to the end of the lesson, I'd like to extend an offer to you regarding our Wednesday evening Bible study. Wednesday evening at 7:30, we're going to be having a study of the parables of Jesus. Everyone's invited to participate in this online class using the Zoom application. You can use your smartphone, a tablet, or a laptop computer to log into the meeting. Once you're there, you'll be able to see and to hear all who are participating in the class and to discuss the Word of God with us. The details for this particular meeting will be provided in an email and a text message that's sent out to all the members of the website and of the church. If you don't have a way of using the Zoom application, you can still join us. Just call the phone number that's at the bottom of the invitation, and in this way, you'll be able to hear the Bible discussion that's being conducted by the members of the class. For all others, the Bible class that was conducted last week has been recorded, and we're going to make that available to you for listening purposes on the congregation's website on the Bible class webpage. If you need help in connecting with either of these things, either the pre-recorded class or the online class, then please let me know so that I can help you get connected as soon as possible. I sure hope you'll be able to join us in the upcoming class. And please, stay safe, and don't forget, keep reading your Bible.